Hey, 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 how's it going out there? Welcome back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. Whoop. Hey, Carolyn, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I'm recovering from a migraine headache.
This crazy weather is nuts, right?
I think that's what it is. I think it's like the transition from hot to cold, air conditioning to extreme heat, and back and forth. I'm not quite sure exactly what spawned this crazy headache because this is day two. But I'm trying to get rid of it, and I'm drinking ginger ale, and that is helping.
Absolutely. But we do have something special in the studio today, don't we?
We have someone very special. Someone very near and dear to all of our hearts in the D.C. area. A man that has created a convention inside D.C. proper. We have Ben from Awesome Cons in studio today.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, Ben? How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
It's really awesome because, like, you know...
It is awesome.
It is awesome.
Because Ben created Awesome Cons.
It's crazy. It's crazy because, like, ever since, you know, because you're... I'd say almost like your company, Awesome Con Conventions, right? Awesome Conventions. It's like...
LLC.
LLC. It's like literally now you've taken the word awesome.
You know what I mean?
I see... Comcast is trying to take awesome. I don't know if you've seen their commercials.
Are they?
And I'm like, don't do it, Comcast.
Yeah, The Miz. He's trying to take that from me, too.
Yeah.
I feel
so
like...
So many people.
It's a good marketing word, apparently. That's what I've heard. I just say the word a lot. That's why we named the company Awesome.
Are you going to do... Like, I don't know... Because you know how, like, WWE, they basically copyrighted, like, Superstar. Didn't they? They took that, right?
They own the word Superstar?
Like, in a certain context. Doesn't, like, Marvel have something else, too?
Superhero?
Marvel and DC own the word Superhero.
They jointly own
Superhero?
They
jointly own it. They both filed claims for it, and the judge decided that they both owned it, but nobody else can use it.
That's pretty amazing.
What? Yeah.
But I don't have that kind of money, so I can't.
Not yet.
You have to hire like multiple lawyers to own a word.
So, well, hey, it's time for the news, Carolyn. Kick it.
It's time for the news.
I'll be back.
Okay. MagicBulletComics.com. You gotta submit your comic. And if you're interested in advertising, contact me. The deadline for this next issue is August 1st. This will be a Halloween issue. We're gonna give it to trick-or-treaters. We're gonna have it around town. We're even gonna have it at Ben's conventions coming up, which he will tell you about.
And
Ben,
we're also advertisers for Magic Bullet.
Yeah!
So.
And Ben advertises in Magic Bullet as Awesome Con and his other conventions. But you have two conventions coming up this year.
Yes, we have two more conventions. We have the Annapolis Comic Con June 29th. That's 4 weeks from yesterday. Or 4 weeks from... I don't know, when does this go?
From this Tuesday.
So like three and a half weeks. We got like 3.5 weeks.
3.5 more weeks.
It's always sooner than it seems. And then we have the Southern Maryland Comic Con in Waldorf, Maryland on November 9th, which is just after Halloween.
That sounds awesome. We're going to use that word a lot.
It's hard to escape it at this point. You know what I mean? It really is.
So Annapolis is only in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, three, 4 weeks.
Something like that,
oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's
this
coming
is
up very quickly.
Up on us.
Is there any special guests? While I was gone, did you already announce a special guest on?
No, we didn't announce. Oh, Travis Love from The Walking Dead is going to be there.
Nice.
He's his character's name is Shumpert, but they never actually say that on the show. He has very few lines, but he is in every episode of season 3.
Nice.
And you probably most know him as the guy who awkwardly gets into the... He's one of the guys that awkwardly gets into the car with the governor at the end of the third season.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, without giving away any spoilers. I know a lot of people haven't watched it
yet. But people that watch it would know.
They will know. Shumpert and Martinez both get into the car with the governor at the end, and it's really awkward and weird.
All you gotta do is really just say Walking Dead these days, and like people will just flock to it. You know what I mean? That's what's really cool about that.
So I've got a lot of questions I want to ask him about the show, so everybody else can get in line behind me.
Are there any special incentives,
like, for people that arrive early? Are there, like, any, like, first 50 people get something at that show?
I want to do something special. We had an exclusive for AwesomeCon DC, with regular show number one, and it got bumped back by Cartoon Network. They didn't approve the story until too late for us to actually get it in time for AwesomeCon DC. So I'm actually... We've got a bunch of these books. We've got more than we thought we'd have because we were expected to sell them at AwesomeCon.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do some sort of really cool giveaway with those at the Annapolis Comic Con. We're going to do some cool stuff, and then I've got some other surprises for Annapolis Comic Con that maybe will come out later.
Cool. I'm excited to find out more info.
What do we have, Carolyn? Do we have anything else? Any other type of news?
Well, we're definitely going to be at those two conventions that Ben
there
mentioned.
There you go.
We're going to be at also some upcoming ones that are still upcoming, but later on in the fall, we have Baltimore Comic Con and Small Press Expo. We will be at both of those. And I'm sure we'll be at others. But we'll tell you more later, like when they're actually coming up, because it's too hard to think about October and September.
Yeah, it's a little far at this point. But this does give us a good opportunity to learn about you, Ben. When was actually the first... I don't remember the first time I met you. I don't even know how that came about. Carolyn, do you remember the first time we met Ben?
I can't remember the exact first time because I feel like I've seen him at almost every convention that we've been to in like the past 5 years. But I feel like it might have been Capcom's.
I think we probably first met at
Capcom's. Really?
And then, probably other cons around. I think I'd seen you guys a bunch of times, but we never really talked until it was like Capcom's.
So it's always pretty insane because I think pretty much at my point of view, and this is not a spite bent against the guys that are running conventions at this point on, but they are like older and you are pretty young. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how old you are.
I'm 30.
Yeah. Well, that's still, it's still,
if you read the
younger.
Washington Post article about him,
it had my
you
age in it.
Known.
Well, I truly wasn't just going to, I don't know. A lot of people don't want to announce ages or something like that,
it's okay.
But it's public knowledge now.
But
it's in the Post.
I feel like the one was like the first time you decided like, hey, I can put on a show, you know, like I'm thinking about way back because you also played music too.
Yeah.
Well, did all these things just tie together?
I always wanted to put on shows when we played music, but we never did that. Yeah. I never really actually took that next step. It would have been cool. I guess I would have been pretty good at it.
You think it'd been very similar?
Yeah. It's not that different. I've got some musical plans in the future. So also top secret.
Top secret.
but
what was that moment where you're like, I think I can put on this show? Because you said what you also sold comics. So I guess
sold comics.
So let's start from the beginning though. Like, what was like your first show? Like, you've been involved with comics ever since you're a teenager, but
I've read comics forever, and then I started at the early eBay. I started selling like my collection to like make some extra dough, and then it was like really cool. It was like, you know, I think I made like $400 one week when I was like 17 just selling
nice
parts of my collection, and I was like, whoa,
like, you know, I can't even do that.
Like,
I
that was
even
real money. I was like, I just made $400. And then so I kind of eBayed on and off for, you know, a long time, and then in 2008 I got real serious about, you know, selling comics, and that was when I started Ninja Pirate Gear, which was my comic online comic company, and then I started doing cons early 2009.
I always like the way it sounds, because a lot of times we don't use conventions at this point, we use cons, like the phrase con, so it's always like, oh, yeah, I'm doing a con.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The long con.
Yeah.
Sawyer version.
Yeah.
But, okay, so you kind of were on the scene around the time we started doing conventions.
That makes sense, I guess. Yeah, yeah. Basically, based on when I started seeing you guys around, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember, like, the first few times, it is kind of difficult, like, I guess, as an exhibitor, because you don't really, like, know anyone the first few times, so you just set up your table and you're just like, hey, like, you start to meet people. I feel like it takes like at least 2 years to really get into the groove.
I was I set up at a lot more shows, so it was probably a little bit quicker for me. But as a dealer, it's a little bit different than as an artist. I love the community of people who are working at cons, like the dealers and the artists, and that's more my background. I have only recently started attending cons as a fan. Like, I'm ashamed to say that.
Oh, yeah.
But he started like the business side first. And
yeah,
now
it was,
like,
you know,
as a fan. But you were still a fan. But
oh, no, I was. I mean, I would never, you know, this isn't the type of business you'd do.
Yeah.
If you're not a fan.
Yeah.
You know, I've met very few people who have come into it like as like a way to make money.
Yeah.
and it's. They're never happy people. I don't know. This is always, you know, geeks are people who really, really are passionate about the things that they like. And to make that your business, you gotta really care about it. But yeah, I always really liked the kind of behind the scenes aspect of it, and I always tried, I guess even when I was attending cons as an exhibitor, I tried to pay attention to the kind of what was the processes of running the con, and I was interested in it, and I paid attention to those types of things.
And a lot of people don't do that because they just like to show up, it's really cool that you're like, you know, you knew that you could do something similar, you know?
I hope so.
That's pretty much. Do you have like a memory of like your first convention? Not the one that you put on, but just in general, like overall first convention that you've ever been to?
I went to, I had signed up to set up as a dealer at a con in, it was like the first weekend in January of 2009.
So you're saying your first show actually wasn't as like a fan? Is that really what it came down to?
The week before that, there was another show, I think in Tyson's Corner, and I went there and I walked around because I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I should probably scope out another con. And so I kind of got an idea of what other people were doing, so I wouldn't, you know, look so... I was afraid I'd like get there and just... I had no idea what I was even supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, I had a bunch of comics I wanted to sell. That was it. And so... you know, so I had scoped out this other one, and it was, you know, that was the first one I ever really went to.
Was it like everything that was it everything you've imagined, basically?
I don't know. I didn't really have an idea of what I was expecting it to be like. I knew that there were bigger cons. You know, I'd probably seen footage from San Diego and stuff like that. And I knew it wasn't going to be like that.
San Diego is like its own beast at this point. Yeah. It's pretty...
As somebody setting up there, or somebody, it's very similar when you walking around it as something like the Baltimore Comic Con or like Awesome Con.
Yeah. But what was one of the first things you learned? Like when just going around and when you're first starting out, like were you like, how do I communicate with people? Like was there like hard lessons that you learned when trying to lock down locations or even just getting people to show up at your conventions?
You know, not bringing too much stuff. Oh, how to organize my comic books. That was kind of a big deal. I had like my... As comic book collecting nerds, you know, like you have your own organization system, and everybody has their own. Everybody, yeah. You know, I've bought hundreds of comic book collections from people, and everybody has their own organizing system. There's no universal way to do it. But when you're selling comics, you've got to have it so that you've got to organize it toward the people who are going to be buying the books. So you have to, it has to make sense to them, not just to me.
Yeah.
And you know, my system, like a lot of my systems that I use for, you know, my organization only makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same with me too. Yeah. I feel like even it's like organizing, you know, like files on your computer.
Exactly. Oh yeah. Everybody does that.
You're like, why everything's like named after like Transformer characters and stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
We had, you know, I had, you know, it was like, you know, I had things organized, like, you know, there's Batman and then there's, you know, Green Arrow is right next to Batman because neither one of those dudes have superpowers, right? They should be next, you know, they should be organized together. But when you're selling the comics, you just alphabetize them.
You just alphabetize
them. Yeah. It's easier.
Because somebody else, you know, they organized Batman with Superman because Superman was like the year before Batman when they first came out. You know, there could be totally different reasons for how they organize.
Did you ever have like sort of like, because now you basically are like a salesman, like you're behind the table, and do you ever have like any interesting people that you run into that you're just like, I know the person's not going to buy anything. Do you have to like pitch people to like, hey, you should try this?
Well, my background is in sales, so
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I used to, I waited tables for years and years, and that's kind of how I got comfortable around people. But then I sold cars for 2 years.
Oh, I didn't even... And, dude, you sold used cars or real cars? Or, like, brand new cars?
Real cars.
I sold, you know, Hot Wheels. Matchbox cars. The movie cars. No. I worked at Blockbuster. My first job ever, I delivered newspapers when I was 11 years old. From when I was 11 till when I was 16. And
that's freaking five years, man.
That was like the dumbest thing I ever did.
And is this the newspaper that's like, it has to be like on the front porch, or is it like a, You know what I mean? Is it like the real deal? Like,
yeah, yeah. I had a neighborhood that I delivered to.
There you go.
And you know, on my route, and part of that job is getting new subscribers, and they would do, you know, they'd always do like cool things. Like for like 1 year, you get 24 new subscribers, and you get a free trip to Disney World.
What? Well,
so
that's a major incentive.
You get it, like you have like 3 weeks to get like 24 new subscribers, and like whoever got, you know, or maybe it was like the 20 people who had the most. I don't know exactly what it was. But
did you ever get that?
Hell yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah, dude. So I mean, I was out there every night knocking on doors trying to sell newspapers.
I was wondering, like, so when you knocked on the door, like, I'm assuming like not everyone wanted to.
Oh no, dude. You had to.
And these are new people that never even had a subscription.
And I'm a little kid, so like. They usually go easy on you, but some of them were just downright rude, and you're just like, you gotta like brush it off and go to, you know. I learned early how to deal with that kind of stuff and how to talk to people and how to communicate with people like that and how to, you know, it was just how to be a salesman basically, and so, you know, and I sold cars for a while and
because like being behind the table, like for even with Carol and I, that was one of the things we had to like learn, like real hard is like, hey, you pitch your book to the you straight on, like there's so many times, Karen, like we pitch our book to just a, you know, a civilian, and then they'd be like, okay, and then they'll just walk away.
You know what I always try to do is you know, engage people, and you know, it's some people are just not interested, and other people, it, you know, what I and what I do now is probably a little bit closer to what you guys do. I sell my, you know, I set up at conventions as a way to get word out about my conventions, but also, you know, I'll sell my exclusives from the cons that we've done. You know, like we had the Adventure Time exclusives, and we've got the Marceline, and we had Revival number one, which was a huge book, and probably a little bit closer to what you guys do. I'm only selling like 5 books.
Yeah.
And you know, basically somebody will walk past, and if I see like something catch their eye, if I see something catch their eye, I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I know they're interested, so I can approach that person. You know, it's like, hey, what, you know, can I help you with anything? And they're like, oh, I didn't know there was an Adventure Time comic book. and then I know what they're interested in, and then I can kind of launch into my spiel and say something, you know, and be like, well, you know, and tell them about the book and tell them why it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a talent that, like, really isn't teachable. It's one of those things that you have to learn with life lessons.
I think, yeah, you had to learn from failing a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, even like similar to your saying, like scratch it off and like move on to the next person. I relate to that because I used to do these phone calls that were surveys, and I would love it actually when people hung up immediately, because then like they didn't waste my time. Yeah. I was like, okay, I just dial the next person.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes if you're halfway through a survey and somebody hung up halfway, you wouldn't get money for that call. So it was like, you know, you're wasting my time, and like I just lost money from it. I mean, no big deal, but it's still like I would rather have you hang up immediately than waste my time.
That's what like 90% of selling cars is like spending half your day with somebody who isn't going to ever make you any money, and that's 100% commission.
Mm. So did you sell? I know real cars, but like, was it like,
I worked at two Honda dealerships, but I sold used cars also. I worked at 2 different Honda dealerships.
So you sell the Barbie dream car.
So I want to know.
It's a real car, you guys.
You're the only person now officially that I know that sold like used and new cars. And I always feel like it's sort of like that. Like you spend like a whole day with someone, and you know, then there's like negotiation process.
Yeah.
Is this, would you say that this was sort of like difficult? Well, was it annoying?
The negotiation process is great. Like that's something that I was personally good at, but once you start negotiating with somebody, like I'm trying to think, I mean like there's like terminology, but like basically once you start negotiating with somebody, they're already closed, which that means they're already going to buy.
Yeah.
They've already committed to buying something. You're just narrowing down the price, and if you lose the sale during negotiation, then you're pretty bad.
Yeah.
Or they're crazy, which happens
all the time.
Yeah.
Like, because the persona we see you right now, you know, you just cut your hair, and now you have a beard. When you were selling those cars, did you have to change? Was it different? A different Ben?
I had
Because I always see those guys wearing suits, man. Well, I don't think I had
a tie and a shirt, and sometimes I'd wear my suit, you know, if I was feeling strong that day. But you know, I had at first I had my long, like I had long hair and a beard, and then the manager at the first place I went to work, I think he was just kind of being a dick about it,
yeah.
But he was like, you have to choose, you can either shave or cut your hair.
Wait,
and I'm like,
it's one or the other.
It's one or the other. I think he just wanted to like be a dick. I don't know, but he was kind of weird. He was a cool guy. Head. He was a cool guy, but he was also like crazy.
So which did you pick?
Well, first I shaved, and then I was like, you know, I was like, oh, that's easy. I don't want to cut my hair.
Yeah.
And then I realized later that the beard was more important. So, and then also I realized that after doing it for like a week, that people didn't take me so seriously
without the beard,
with the long hair. Oh, well, with the long hair, with no beard, I look like I'm. I mean, I look like I'm like 12. I mean, I'm 30. I don't look any older now than I did then. And I look, you know, it's very hard for a grown person to take me seriously, especially when I was, you know, I don't know, 24 years old or something like that.
I found that the same like in my industry too. It's like I felt like I needed a little something to be like, oh yeah, he's been here for a while. Yeah. You know.
So I cut my hair and grew the beard back.
Do you think that's why beards are in right now? A lot of like
people
guys
are just copying me.
Yeah, a lot of guys are just like really like, I want Ben's look.
Yes.
Can you give me that?
I don't know. I just don't like to shave.
How long have you had a beard for though? Did you have it in high school?
I have shaved this beard. Three or four times.
We're talking all the way off.
Yeah, see, like, if you hate shaving that much, imagine what it's like to be a woman. Imagine having to shave like every other day, your legs and everything.
I don't think I would do it if I was a woman.
You'd be like one of those hairy women.
But although you know
like
what?
Unshaved armpits.
I think
if
if I got really like really ripped and really in shape, you know, I might shave my chest. Because it just makes you look like that much. I mean, like, if you put that much work into it, you might as well get the most out of it.
You gotta show it off.
You might as well just get the laser hair removal and just go all the way, man. I feel like that same way, too, because now it's almost like it doesn't look as, like, it looks more perverted if you're ripped and you have like hair on you. I don't know, like Antonio Cesaro.
If you can pull the Shawn Michaels off, then it's okay.
Yeah,
he's the only guy who can like oil up his hairy chest.
Well, that's Cesaro. You don't think Cesaro works enough? That's his European look. That's what the European.
I just don't like Albert with the hair. Yeah. It's so gross. It's like the back hair.
For some reason, I didn't realize that Shawn Michaels had hair on his chest, but now I guess he does.
George the Animal Steel.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna go to the I started growing this like awful shoulder hair, so I'll shave that off.
What do you mean awful?
It just looks weird. It looks weird.
When did you realize this was happening?
It was a few years ago.
You're like, I gotta do something.
You're like becoming Wolverine.
I saw it on my brother, but his is worse.
Why don't you just wax it, man?
Have you had anything waxed before?
Well, I'm assuming if it's just shoulder. I'm assuming it's not going to be as bad if it's just like on his shoulder, right? It can't be like massive.
You know what? I wish that, seriously, this is a serious wish. I wish that all men were able to experience how it's like to be a woman and like shave their legs, you know, like several times a week. Optional of getting waxed down there. And like having a period, like five,
with the option
like,
of having a period.
No.
Like, honestly, I'll never wax or have a period.
The waxing down there, I will give that an optional, but for sake of it, it would be nice to have every guy try it, and then also have like a period, you know, whatever, 5-6 days a month.
Remember, we were watching that one episode of New Girl. When the black dude, now I forget the name of the black dude. Do you remember?
Winston.
Remember when like he, like, I guess his girlfriend was having a period and he was like experiencing a period like the same time. Like, he was like, it's true, man. Like, it's a mental thing that happens.
And then like have to wear thong and high heels and like get dressed up. Yeah, I know. I caught Ben earlier and it was scary, but you know, he's okay.
Would you rather that like men had to have like have a period, or just that like women didn't have to have that?
Wait, but
no, it's not a fact of like one has it or the other. I just want men to like at least experience it like a couple times in their life.
All right, let's describe
just
how would men experience this period though? How would it happen?
Like all of a sudden,
we would have
one
to have
day,
ovaries
it would,
and eggs.
You know what? Like no, just take the scientific stuff away from it. It would be like an Umbrella Academy storyline. You know when like all the babies are born with unwed mothers that they just happen to get pregnant?
Well, wait. First, before we get further, let's describe what exactly happens when you have a period. Why
so
would
you don't
the
even
mood
know what happens?
No,
this
I want to know
talking
why
about.
Would the
guys
mood swings,
don't even know.
Why would the mood swings and all that happen though? What brings that together?
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but it is hormones, I guess, imbalance of things. Some women have it worse than others. Like some women have, I think they're from what I've read, they had their period for over a week. Like I only have it for around 5 days, which is pretty good. But like some women, I don't know. Some
that's
women,
a lot of information. All right.
I mean, like it's a natural thing. All women have it. You know, we all know about it. But I'm just saying that it would be interesting if like one day, you know, science switched around a little bit.
Just so you know, Ben, she's been pushing this concept for a while. It's like men should have these periods.
No, but like I don't want. Like, I'm not saying that women should not have it and men should have it. I'm just saying it's kind of like a Freaky Friday thing. Yeah. Like if it was just flipped around, at least for like a year, let's say, and men had to have a period for a year.
Ben, what would happen if that were to come through? If men were to have periods, they would just be moody, right?
I mean, after a while, wouldn't it just be normal again? I mean, it'd just be a
but
different
like,
kind of normal.
You know, but what if one day you all woke up and were like, oh my God, what is going on?
That would be scary. I don't
like, and then
my
like,
ass is bleeding. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, I mean, where would the
it doesn't
the,
come out that way,
where
Joe.
Would the blood where would the blood come
yeah,
from?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because,
the blood
because
go?
we've already got like men already have like a multi-use urethra, you know.
I'm not trying to be scientific, but I guess it would come out.
It
know,
has to be scientific,
side.
Carolyn. You have to break down the science.
I'm just saying, you know.
But what happened? Like, what would happen when, like, we peed?
Like, be blood.
This
right?
is important.
There will
right?
be blood. Be like, Daniel Day-Lewis. There will be blood.
Like before and after like, and during. Like,
no, see, it doesn't
any
like
more information here.
There's not like a continuous flow or anything.
Is this what happens when girls go when they're PMSing and they have like and they have to pee? They pee out blood.
No, because they have different holes.
What?
But sometimes it comes...
See,
you didn't even know! You didn't know how the female body works,
this
okay?
This is
health class.
This is the... I wanted to... Because men, you know, they have one hole where girls have two. Okay?
Okay.
They have three.
And Joe just learned
well, girls
that
have
girls
two holes
have two.
For the same thing that men have one.
Oh, okay, yeah. Makes sense.
Men have two, girls have three in that... area.
Okay.
In their undercarriage.
Anyway,
it
I'm
all
just,
makes sense
I'm just
now.
Saying that, like, if things were switched a little bit, it would be interesting to see what guys thought of it.
We would have so many wars.
We'd be so moody.
Yeah. People would just...
We would... Girls would end up, like, taking over, like, everything.
They already are.
Yeah. Well, like, it would switch, like, it would just switch, like the whole paradigm would just shift.
Or would it be equal though? Because then everyone's.
But this would only be like a curse of like a year.
Oh,
a curse. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
when the apocalypse
the year the men turned into women.
But what if
it's
we
already starting to happen?
But what if we
way?
End up
it's
handling
cause of the,
it?
It's because of the hormones in the water.
Is that what's happening?
It is. Oh my gosh, yeah. Because the because like so many women are like on birth control,
uh-huh.
and like also because like there's so many hormones in like our food and stuff like that, that it's like that it's having like you know like when you know
like mutant effects.
Yeah, like well it's just totally like totally permeated the water supply at this point, and like I mean think about all the years that women have been taking birth control, and then like all of those hormones they just you know. They get flushed down the toilet at some point, and then that water goes back into the water supply, and they don't like, you know, and I think they've done studies that have said that like men are, and then I guess you can look this up and totally prove me wrong.
I don't.
But
we speak the truth.
Yeah, I've totally read about this. But I heard about it somewhere.
I heard it on the internet.
Yeah,
it must be true.
But they said like over like the past like you know decades. That men have become like more and more passive because they're just ingesting so much estrogen.
Oh, I didn't realize that was
that's
why.
That's why.
But I do
think.
And they started bleeding out of their wieners.
Oh. Yeah.
That's
why we need a Brita, so we can just filter all that stuff out.
That stuff
man.
Doesn't filter out in the Brita.
It doesn't.
I don't know.
Oh man.
You're still gonna be female.
You're still.
The only thing that can stop it is a tinfoil hat.
But, you know, I do think that, like, where are the manly men? Like,
there's two right here, right?
There's two
I have
right
a beard.
Here, I have to
I have
say.
I have a beard and long
I
hair.
I have to say, you guys are more on the manly side of things. But I'm just saying, in general, I feel like there's not as many men that are, like, manly.
Well, really, there's no more heroes,
I think. I think just... I'm comfortable being manly and not manly. I think a lot of guys are being comfortable, you know, it's like both, you know, like I have kids and like, I think when you have kids, like you completely change, like you start crying for like, you know, oh my God, like to like think about the movie Up. And I'm just starting crying.
We were just talking about that the other day, especially the first like 15 minutes.
First 15 minutes, I'm like, we had to like pause it and like finish crying before we could start watching the movie.
I feel like it's a totally different movie after that moment, though.
But it's like they did it the right. Adventure. They set you up. Yeah, it was Finding Nemo at the beginning. That's horrible too.
I don't remember crying as
much. His mom dies in the beginning.
But I don't remember like crying as much as Up though. Like my tears are just like. Argh!
Oh, Toy Story 3. That's a cry. That's
oh my gosh! When they're in the fire pit.
No, it was like the at the end.
And the end.
Oh my gosh! With the box.
The fire pit thing is awesome. I'm like, really that's cool. That's like a cinematic moment of all movies.
We go to the dump, you know, sometimes to just, you know, we were doing a lot of remodeling on the house, so we were taking a lot of trips to the dump, and it was not that cool.
I want to hear about this dump story. What?
Oh, it's like, just a landfill. It's not,
but like, what is there though? I would love to go to the dump.
This is where they take all the trash and then they cover it up with dirt and it becomes a mountain.
But
is
there any treasure? Like
you can't
find it, or is it much destroyed?
You know, like syphilis. I don't know. There's diseases.
What a treasure!
You might find treasure, but you will get something way worse. You get something, you know.
So what was the point of going to the dump? Just to
because we were doing some remodeling and we were throwing. We were leaving stuff in the dump.
Oh, okay. You weren't like dumpster diving.
No, like we had we moved recently and we remodeled the new place a little bit, and we had this old mini fridge that didn't work anymore. So instead of moving it to the new house, we took it to the dump.
Mm-hmm.
And you drive up to the hill and then you drop it on the ground.
Really? You don't even have to like go through a gate and be like,
oh,
hey,
we
need
to go. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
They don't like take it from you, they just go up there and just throw it out.
They weigh your car before and after, and you pay for what you leave.
Hmm.
You pay by like the pound, or by, you know, buying per like 700 pounds or something like that. It's like $5 for 700 pounds. And so you just drop your trash and then you leave, and then they have like these dump trucks and bulldozers that like push it into a pile and then cover it up with dirt and then bulldoze over it, and they move to a different spot, and then like a few weeks later they'll come back to that spot and put more trash there, and they just build a big
and
hill.
Then like Wally comes by and makes a box out of it.
Yeah,
I actually didn't know that they just covered up with dirt.
It's just, yeah,
I see it's, no benefit in just covering it up with dirt. I guess you can try to grow something in there.
No, you just make a big hill and feed seagulls. You watch seagulls and geese and crows get into fights.
Just because that's the new landfill.
Yeah.
Well, it is a landfill.
That's the new bum fights.
That's the new bum fights.
Seagull versus crow.
So how many
ducks versus geese?
How many do you think you were a pretty good salesman selling cars? Were you just like raking it in?
No.
I mean, I'm raking it in as I mean like cars that you're.
It's you don't make that much money as a car salesman. They'll hire anybody to be a car salesman.
Really?
I mean, but I was okay. I was better at there's certain parts of it that I was better at, you know. There's some people that are just like they can just connect with anybody that they meet instantly, and anybody they talk to will just buy whatever they want, whatever they want them to. And then some people are like, I'm not like that, and I have a hard time like BSing with people, and I have a hard time being dishonest. You know, not that you have to be dishonest, but like I found that like cars that I was into, or cars that I really liked, or cars that I owned, I sold more of those because I knew more about them, and I was, you know, if I was enthusiastic about it, like really genuinely enthusiastic about it, it showed, and people, you know, they believed that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was, you know, I was pretty good, good negotiator, I guess. That was something I was good at. And then when I started selling comics, you know, use my negotiating skills to like buy collections and buy comics and stuff. Definitely better buying than selling.
That makes sense then, right?
I was definitely better at buying than selling. I guess everybody says that they're better at buying. I mean, it's easy to buy stuff, but I made all my money from the buying, and but I still didn't make that much money.
I feel like when you're passionate about like the comics, even like people are gonna see that and then work on that, and then, you know, we'll just build from there.
Yeah.
And that's the level you're at now. So, and even it's going to get bigger too. Like, So tell us about like your plans for next year's Awesome Con, because you already have the dates set in April. Yeah,
April 19th and 20th. It's Easter weekend. Easter Geekend. So I'm gonna trademark that.
You should trademark that.
I'm gonna trademark Easter Geekend.
Nice. So,
or just trademark Geekend.
Geekend.
Then you can like totally own
Awesome Geekend.
There you go.
I should just call the con Geekend to begin with. I bet the domain's available.
Geekend?
Nice. I'm gonna look that up.
As soon as I get back,
yes.
So I'm assuming this last Awesome Con, you had a pretty good response because you're already making the second one's already happening.
Yeah, well, we had a good response before the con. We had actually planned out a lot of the next year's months ago, because what I realized is that this is the Washington Convention Center is a very busy facility.
Yeah,
and you need to book that stuff in advance.
Yeah,
because they, you know, the even for next year, the dates that were available to us were very limited, so. So, you know, we were lucky to get the dates that we got. Other, you know, they could have, you know, if we waited too much long, if we had waited to make sure that 2013's Awesome Con was, you know, an absolute success, then they'd have been like, you know, oh, you know, no, we're totally booked up for the entire 2014. Yeah. Sorry, Ben. Sorry,
2015's open.
Yeah. Find somewhere else to go.
But was that, were you scared or did you already knew that you can put on Awesome Con here, or? I mean, what were your thoughts just studying
really,
the show?
I was really confident. I was scared, though. Yeah,
I had a
range of emotions.
Yeah, because that was almost like no man's land at that point, because I don't know if there's anyone else that tried to run a show or if there was something.
So you're already up on the mood swings early on.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, you go through phases. There's always a part, like, before the con where you're like, or, you know, like a week beforehand where you're like, nobody's coming.
Oh, man,
I don't think anybody's going to come to this thing. That didn't really happen too much with this one because
you had to turn people away.
Yeah, it was crazy. We didn't turn anybody away.
But
I almost had to.
Oh, I guess I heard a bigger like thing that they were like, they have to turn people away. I started hearing that.
There was
the 2 day passes or something. I don't remember what I heard, but there was something like that. People were like, there's so many people, they have to turn people away.
We got to a point where we thought we might have to on Saturday, so we. You know, we were keeping a really close eye on it, and we were like this close to
happening. Okay. What would have happened?
We would have just had to stop selling tickets, and we may have had to stop letting people into the main exhibit room until people left.
That sounds fair.
Yeah.
So it's not like the show is going to be like, no, stop.
No,
so,
no.
So it is like a club. It's like a club, and there's a line.
It would, yeah.
Like a fancy.
It would have had, yeah. And then, you know, that's just,
have,
I mean,
like,
that's.
Night at the Roxbury.
You know, that's like a safety thing.
Yeah.
Like, safety's the first. Safety first. Safety is more important than anything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
So would, but, I mean, when did you get the idea, like, that you knew you could put a show on at the DC Convention Center? Like, did you ask people, like, hey, is this happening? Can people actually do this?
Well, like, you know, when we first did our first show, we talked about it. You know, the first show we ever did in 2011 went really well. And we were like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could put on a show in DC?
Yeah.
And then, you know, after things were going well and we'd done some more shows, you know, we, like, looked into it. And, you know, I spent probably a few weeks just full-time work, basically, just crunching numbers on this and being like, I think this would actually work, because I think the kind of prevailing wisdom was that it was too expensive and that's why nobody had done it.
Yeah.
And you know, there had been a few other cons in DC, you know, but nothing on this scale, and, you know, at the convention center.
Being at the convention center is one of those situations, like, well, you're not really putting on a convention if it's not at the DC Convention Center. You know,
it's amazing though too, because since it was metro accessible, like, that helps out so much. Even
that was,
like, a lot of the customers were coming by saying how great that was.
That was the most important thing when we were looking for locations. Was I looked at the Gaylord Hotel, which is in Prince George's County in Maryland. It's just it's on the Potomac River. It's a national harbor, and you know, they got a great convention facility in there. They actually run Catsicon at the Gaylord.
I've worked at there, and yeah, I've shot in that convention center, and it's pretty. It looks like a little village.
Yeah, it's a nice. Oh, it's a beautiful place. But you know, you have to drive. You can't get there any other way.
That's definitely a roadblock with a lot of people. Yeah, literally.
And so we had, I thought, you know, the trick. I thought, you know, I live in Maryland, and to get me to go to Virginia is like. Seriously.
You only do it for the Carolyn and Josh.
Yes. It has to be like real important or like go to, you know, and I assume it for people in Virginia, they're like, I gotta go to Maryland, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I do it all the time, but yes.
And people in DC, they're like, I'm not leaving.
They're never leaving. I'm not leaving. I hate Maryland and Virginia.
I'm not leaving the city. So we put the account in, I was like, it has to be, you know, metro accessible. And then, you know, I'm like, you know, we talked to the convention center and we looked at it and I'm like, crunched all the numbers. I'm like, this is the perfect location. You know, we can make it work. The money works, you know, if we can stay in the budget, which we didn't, but it still worked out. And, you know, it ended up, you know, working out great, you know, and I,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised nobody had done it before, but it was, you know, it was a lot of hard work.
Definitely. But from an exhibitor perspective, I feel like it was the best promoted con that I'd seen in a really long time.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Obviously New York Comic Con is huge, and I wasn't expecting it to be at that level, especially in the first year. But I felt like the energy that was there in the first year and just the overall, I guess, hype, like the week coming into it, like, surprised a lot of people. But it actually didn't surprise me personally, because I knew you were already working really hard on it. And one of my coworkers came up to me and was like, what is this awesome con? Because he knew I go to the comic conventions, but I don't really talk about it at work. But he was like, I heard about it on DC 101. Nice. And like, you know, just getting that type of promotion out there to like normal civilians. I think that reached a greater level than any other convention in the area.
Yeah, we worked really hard, you know, on that specifically, just trying to, you know, cons right now, we're really lucky right now. Like the cons are kind of big and people are really excited to go to cons and you know, the New York Comic Con in San Diego get like national press, mm-hmm. and every local newspaper covers those, you know. I used to live in Annapolis, and that's where my in-laws live, and you know, their local paper in Annapolis, which is the one I used to deliver, the Capital.
The Capital, that's a good name too, man.
Yeah, they you know, they cover, you know, the San Diego and New York Comic Con. So, you know, people know about these things. People understand that they're really cool events and they're fun to go to. So that's, you know, I just wanted to kind of get the word out. And I figured, you know, if people knew about it, they'd be interested to come. And we kept it, you know, pretty affordable too.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, we tried to promote that it's family friendly and that kids, you know, kids are free. And we had all sorts of really cool kids events.
And that's what's great about comic conventions, like, at this moment in history, you know, we're in 2013 now, but I feel like everything is so much on the internet, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, is it on the internet? Is it on the internet? And that's, like, all they really care about, and they don't care about leaving their house, much like, you know, people that live in D.C. don't want to leave. But it's, like, to have an event like this that brings everyone together, like, really, I saw so many people that we know that make comics, that are interested in comics, that have some connection to comics or some connection to any aspect of a convention, either whether it be like even just the cosplay, they just like to wear outfits, you know, and like they all were there. Like so many people we saw from like multiple conventions were all at one spot, which was Awesome Con.
It's so cool. Like it completely breaks all of the stereotypes about like people these days that want to, you know, they just
like hiding in their basement.
They hide in their basements and they don't, you know, and they don't socialize. And it's like, you know, you go to these cons and it's completely the opposite.
Yeah.
Everybody's there, you know, mostly to socialize. And you know, there's a lot of business that's being conducted and people are buying and selling but it's mostly about, you know, being together with other fans and having a good time.
I thought it was really cool. One of my favorite parts about Awesome Con this past year was just seeing lines, man. I don't know what it is about being at conventions, but I enjoy seeing long lines.
I do. I enjoy.
Big groups of people waiting.
It means that people are interested in what we're doing. Yeah. I like it. You know, next year, hopefully, we'll have bigger spaces so that everybody, you know, that a lot of people didn't get to do some of the stuff. You know, we had, I know, a few hundred people who didn't get into the costume contest.
Oh, really?
We just didn't have a room that big. You know, we just didn't have a room that big.
Costume contests are pretty massive, too, man.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be like a crucial thing for conventions too.
The cosplay was pretty hot at AwesomeCon.
It was, yeah, we've been really lucky. Every con we've ever put on was like a really good cosplay con.
Cosplay is hardcore these days, man. Cosplay is hardcore. Some people don't even know that they're cosplaying and they are. Like in real life, you know what I mean? I do want you to get a pro wrestler next year.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
I felt like thank you for letting us do the Pro Wrestling Today panel. I felt like afterwards we got a pretty good response after that. They want it, man.
here's my theory here's my thinking on the pro wrestling thing. You know, I've been to a lot of cons, and usually wrestling at cons is like pathetic, and it doesn't make wrestling look good, and doesn't make the con look good.
Yeah.
So my theory is like we have to it has to embrace the more nerdy aspects of pro wrestling. It has to embrace, you know, it has to be not the stereotypical, you know, wrestling fans and wrestling discussions and the wrestlers that you know, it has to be more like wrestlers that people who really, really, really care about wrestling like.
Yeah. Who is one do you think? That, I mean, I know we're going to bring that list, but like, who would you like to see at AwesomeCon if you could?
Oh my gosh.
Are we allowed to ask that?
I don't want to talk about it. We are definitely working we were talking to WWE, and we'll see about what we can do. And we were talking to some wrestlers from TNA, and we'll see what we can make happen. But I don't want to like say anything
because
that would
people will find out.
I would just
out.
End up jinxing.
People
it.
Will find out yeah. though. But it was definitely cool to have that represented at AwesomeCon.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely like
I listened to it on the Carolyn and Joe show.
Oh yeah, it's nice. and it's a pretty lively crowd, man.
Yeah, part of my job is that I have to listen to every podcast and watch every video and read every article about the con.
And that's as well as you should, man. You want to see what's going on.
Get the Google alerts.
So did you get a lot of good feedback? And also, before the con even started, you had excellent press coverage. Like,
Washington Post got in touch with us.
The weekend section.
Yeah. I did an interview for Washington Post, and then I got the reporter for the weekend section wanted to talk to some other people involved in the con. And I was like, well, if you want to get like a female perspective, talk to Carolyn. So he talked to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just tried to give him the rundown on what the show was all about. And he, you know, reporters have no clue. They've never, you know, it's...
Yeah, a lot of the questions he asked me, because it was a 40-minute phoner. And,
I talked to him for about an hour and a half, yeah.
Okay, so that's pretty long. That's very long. But, yeah, a lot of the stuff... I mean, it sounded like he personally had never been to a convention before. But he did ask, like, very relevant questions as to what it is. But
I tried to school him up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
I had to explain a lot to him just in general about convention life.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, what I found, and this is, it's good and bad. It's good because conventions to a reporter, to a newspaper, they seem very weird, and they also photograph very well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, they're all about it because they think like, these crazy people dressing up in costumes. What's it like to be all crazy, you know? And you know, and I don't mind the press, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you kind of have to be like, look, this is, you know, this is not an unusual, this is a normal thing. And these are all normal people. I had the reporter for the Washington Times asked me, you know, she's like, you know, I wasn't sure if something like this would be successful in DC because, you know, DC is a very like shirt and tie, you know, lawyer type city. And I'm like, who do you think's here? They're just wearing a Boba Fett costume right now.
Yeah.
They don't wear the suit and tie on the weekend.
Exactly. You know,
it's the same people.
Well, I feel like it's a stereotype of DC.
Yeah.
Because I've even had people that I've met at conventions, they're, you know, they ask, hey, you know, where are you based off? Where are you from?
Yeah.
And I say DC, and they're always very shocked that I'm from DC.
Like
as if I shouldn't be there or something, or as if, I don't know.
Because there aren't like 10 million people around here.
Yeah.
You know, like there aren't 10 million people in the general vicinity.
I mean, probably,
they don't have kids, and they didn't all grow up in this area. Like, yeah.
But I mean, I'm probably not the stereotypical DC person, obviously, but at the same time, it's like, really? That's seriously what people are always going to think about this area.
Because 1% of the people that are around here are the fit that stereotype.
Because we're all congressmen.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's just, it is interesting though. Even actually when I go to a comic book store, there's occasionally some guys that I'll see like in full on suits. you know, coming back from work, and then they'll pick up comics.
Well, no, absolutely. So. Absolutely. Those are the, they were there. I'm not, you know.
And, those are the people at Awesome Comics.
I mean, I think that's one of the best things about when you go to a convention or just comic books and just that pop culture in general, it's everybody. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people think it's just this certain niche of people, but really it's to the point where everyone is included, you know, from movies, actors, comics, whatever.
I was talking to, I was at the Wizard World Philadelphia last weekend, and I was joking with one of the dealers. He was joking with me about AwesomeCon because so many of our dealers, and nobody would really know this, were lawyers. So many of the dealers were like...
The dealers were lawyers.
They're lawyers, and he was joking that like if something bad had happened... You know, he's like, hey, at least there's a bunch of lawyers in the room.
Yeah.
You know? but the cool thing about the con is that it totally breaks down all like bonds of like age and race and gender. And I think it is the comics world still kind of like male dominated, but it's
it's changing.
But yeah, and if you look at the con, the Artist Alley and the and even I'm starting to see more female exhibitors.
Yeah.
Which is that's. There's it's still lot. Unusual, but you're starting to see more of them, and but in the Artist Alley, it's very good representation, and there's no, there isn't one type of person. It's all ages, it's all all races, both genders, and it's just kind of a uniter.
Definitely.
And that's exactly what you're doing, man. Yeah. And in my point of view, you're uniting people, dude.
Yeah, I feel great about it. I think I was talking to somebody about this last week, but they were saying that, they're talking about like African American geeks and African American nerds, and I'm saying the first few times I went to cons, I was kind of surprised at the number of black people that were there.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot.
But it after a while and I wasn't but that was just like a stereotype of that I kind of had to get over, and then I realized it's just completely normal to love. This kind of stuff, everybody loves Spider-Man and Batman. It doesn't matter.
People just love characters, man. Yeah, like good characters and stories.
Yeah, and that's completely universal, and it's really cool. I just absolutely love that. People will ask me, what kind of people come out? And I'm like, all kinds of people. And then I'm not even like, I just can't think of a better answer.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Comics are for everybody.
So before we end this show, Ben. Tell us, website, anything. What where can we find you? What's the dates? Anything?
Okay, well, Annapolis Comic Con is June 29th. It's AnnapolisComicCon.com with two C's, Comic Con. And then the other big thing is we get the Southern Maryland Con November 9th. But there's plenty of time to talk about that. The really, 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 really big thing right now is that we're going to be launching a Kickstarter for AwesomeCon DC 2014. And Joe, you've been kind enough to help me out with that a little bit.
Yes.
And hopefully Thursday, Friday, something like that, we'll have it live, and you'll be able to support our Kickstarter to make sure that we can be, a big, quote-unquote big Comic-Con.
It will be, man. It will be. I believe it is.
Because we're already taking it to the next level.
Yeah, no, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I'm 100% sure that's gonna happen. But we just need, to get people to get out there and back
fan
it.
Fan support.
The fan support, and even once we hit that Kickstarter goal, I'd love to see it just get as high as it possibly can, so that people, people really know about it and buy into it. And then the more people that buy into it early, the better it's gonna be when it gets here next year. I know it's like 10 months away or more than 10 months away, but. But it's like, it's gonna be so awesome. It might as well be next week for me. I'm just working full time on it all the time. But it's gonna be. It's
You're
gonna
like
be so
the
cool.
Santa equivalent of Christmas. Yeah. You're like the Santa Claus of AwesomeCon.
Yeah, it you seems to, like I'm only working you, like one day a year.
but you have to work on it like right when it ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're back on.
Yeah,
it
I
again.
Jump right back into it, and I and what we're gonna do is. This is something really cool that we haven't announced yet, but what I'd like to do is, if we can hit our Kickstarter goal, which will be $50,000, if we can hit that goal before the Annapolis Comic Con on June 29th, then anybody who's backed our Kickstarter for the AwesomeCon 2014 will get into the Annapolis Comic Con for free.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So
you all got a pledge.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
So thank you everyone for tuning into the show. Go ahead and check out my new work on one-shots.com. Also, this show is brought to you by straightproductions.com, or just a Straight Productions. Check out also my other new work, gostray.tumblr.com. What do you got, Carolyn?
You can read my comic strip, Curls. It's online at curls-studio.com.
That was pretty cool. Ben, thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks for
having
me.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks for everything.
Hopefully we have you again, maybe to promote the next show or any other show that you have coming up. Thanks again. Well, Carolyn, I will catch you later.
See you later.
Send him home.